more of the straight talk you need to make it in today's economy with Mike Robertson.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of the Wednesday edition of Straight Talk Money. I'm Peggy Tuck, along with Charles Sizemore. Rodney Johnson was absolutely fantastic. He's, of course, from with Harry Dent. He's his right-hand man. If you'd be interested in signing up for their blogs and their newsletters, go to economyandmarkets.com, economyandmarkets.com. But some very interesting insight there. Okay, Charles, we were talking in the first segment. Yesterday we had actually spoken of, Elias and I were talking about, you know, those year-end things that you might want to start doing. And one of them was about the tax loss harvesting. So I came across an article this morning. We always like to give people something to do their homework on, about how maybe now is a good time for some investors to shop for bargains, because this is when people are returning their broken stocks to the store shelves, so to speak, and that, you know, because they want to, of course, make up for the gains that they've made. So is this a good idea? And then let's talk about some of the sectors where you might find some of these bargains.
Yeah, so, and by the way, it's not just individual investors, you know, doing this. It's also a lot of professionals. You know, if you're a big professional mutual fund manager or institutional manager, you know, you kind of want to go into the new year with a clean slate. So a lot of times you dump your bad stocks. You use those to offset any gains you might have had elsewhere in the portfolio, and you know, start the new year clean. So that does create some issues. You know, stocks that hadn't been doing well all year may really do badly in December, as, you know, big investors just kind of say, okay, well, this stock has been a dog, I'm just going to sell it, and then they just sort of pile on and it goes even lower. So whenever you see that, that's actually very, you know, fertile ground for some good value stocks. Sometimes a dog is a dog and you should just dump it and be done, but yeah, well, we all do. That's part of the game, unfortunately, but you can also find some real bargains. I know this article that you were looking at, they were finding a lot of bargains in the healthcare sector, and
exactly.
I would agree. I think that's very fertile ground right now, particularly, oddly enough, you would think with Trump winning the election and wanting to pull back Obamacare, you would think the health insurers would be getting hit, but it's actually not. It's more like the medical device and pharmaceutical companies have really gotten hit the hardest. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely some opportunities there. One sector not included in the article that I think really should have been is real estate.
Oh,
real estate
okay.
has gotten obliterated. Real estate has gotten absolutely obliterated over the last couple months here. It's my single favorite sector. So it's my favorite broad sector right now. I expect real estate, you know, REITs, I expect them to do very well early 2017. You know, we saw that last year where, you know, starting halfway through the first quarter, REITs really picked up steam and had a great, you know, roughly six-month run. I think we're on the cusp of something very similar to that.
Okay. Now, you did mention, I just want to back up because I do want to give some folks just a little something to do some homework on. And, again, these are not our recommendations. These are coming from Michael Brush's article in MarketWatch. And he sat down with some value-oriented investors, and this is where they were liking it. In healthcare, one of them was Gilead. You know, I mean, that's a long time, biotech darling, and, you know, it's been on the outs because of the drug pricing thing, but they still have a rich pipeline of a lot of other drugs that are really positive and coming online for liver disease and inflammation-related diseases. So could that be a good buy?
I would say so. I mean, biotech had a bubble a couple of years ago, and that bubble burst. And so what happens after a bubble burst is investors are a little bit gun-shy to get back in, you know. So what's happened here is, you know, these stocks, mm-hmm. they're cheap and they're out of favor now. But, you know, as a society, we're not getting any younger. You know, as the baby boomers age, they right. need a good pipeline of new drugs. And so the macro you know, conditions for biotech are really good. And now that prices have come down, I mean, I would say it probably is worth a stab, sure.
Okay. Charles, we've got a caller on the line. And so, folks, I know I said we were going to give you things to do your homework on, but let's go to Bill in Houston. Bill, welcome to the show.
Phil, yeah.
Oh, Phil, okay.
Rodney Johnson made the comment that we're manufacturing more than we ever have in the history of our country. And my question is, because putting together sub-assemblies into a major assembly is considered manufacturing, the problem is, of course, that that particular operation has a very low value-added factor. So are we really doing that good in manufacturing? That's the question that I wanted to throw at either Rodney or at Mr. Sizemore.
Okay, we'll let Charles handle that.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point. You know, the supply chain is global now. So, you know, the manufacturing system, for lack of a better word, is global. And it would be very rare for anything to be manufactured from start to finish completely in one country. That said, overall output and value-added output, I might add, you know, the higher value-added stuff is oftentimes still done in the U.S. and in expensive countries like Germany and Japan. At this point, a lot of the high-value stuff people really don't trust to, you know, an emerging market like China. The issue really still is automation. What's happened is as manufacturing gets more and more sophisticated, you need robots to do it. You need, like, you need robot precision. You need mechanical precision. That just, you need a human worker to service the robot to, you know, oversee it, but you don't need a full assembly line of workers. So the basic trend really is one of increased output with fewer workers. Now there is, you know, globalization is part of that. We do have a global chain here, but we are still manufacturing more and still, for the most part, high value stuff here. We just don't need as much labor to do it. And it goes beyond manufacturing. I mean, even service jobs are being replaced by automation. That's just the theme of, you know, the next couple decades. It's sort of like the new Industrial Revolution. The original Industrial Revolution was very unsettling to the you know, existing workers. There was, you know, several decades of adjustment as workers kind of adopted to the new reality. I think we're really experiencing that again today. So it's disruptive. Ultimately, you know, decades from now, we'll all reap benefits from it. But it's going to be really disruptive in the meantime.
Okay.
All right, well, Bill.
Yes, ma'am. I'll let you get back to your fix of the day. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Mr. Sizemore.
You bet.
And Charles, really, we're winding down to about a minute. I'm sorry, folks. We're going to hold these over for tomorrow, though. So we're going to tell you some other areas where if you're looking for some bargains, especially at a time when people are doing some tax loss harvesting, as well as we got to talk about the contest that Charles is in every year, and we're going to give you some good stock picks there that you might want to do your homework on as well. And also coming up tomorrow, Charles, you know, 'tis the season, and, you know, everybody's out there, you know, I just went and had, like, if you get your nails done, your hair done, all that kind of stuff. It's a time when people feel a little more generous, and who should you tip and who should you not tip? And you might be surprised at some of the people you're tipping that you could actually keep that cash in your pocket. Yep. So
proper Christmas tipping etiquette.
Yes, very good. And some of them I was even quite surprised. Charles, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, thanks so much for listening to Straight Talk Money today. Hope you enjoyed Rodney Johnson. Again, you can go to economyandmarkets.com for more information. Go out and make yourself some money today, as Mike always says. God bless.